Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. And if you are watching on YouTube, yes, I still have my Christmas tree up. I have yet to take it down and we're in February now. And it's just because it's just too depressing to take it down. I'll probably take it down around Valentine's Day so that there's another holiday to pick me up and make me feel happy going through this winter season. Winter is just a difficult time to get through. It's cloudy, it's rainy, it's snowy, it's cold. So my Christmas tree is still up because I believe in keeping the Christmas spirit even into winter. For anyone who is wondering why it's still up, I have a dedicated purpose and reason why it is. And it's kind of funny because my husband will not allow me to put up the Christmas tree before Thanksgiving. And yet he is completely 100% on board with keeping the Christmas tree up well past Christmas season. So it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why he's in favor of one but not the other, but I'll take my wins where I could get them because I would completely be the person that would put the Christmas tree up in October instead of celebrate Halloween. And then I would just leave it up until mid-February. Plus, it's just so hard to take it down and too much energy and it's just too pretty. So it's going to stay up until further notice. But today I really want to get into a heavy topic and I'm not going to spend a lot of time. So I'm hoping that this episode is going to be shorter, but it's just something that I actually wrote about. If you go to selfevidentpodcast.com and you click on our article section, I wrote an article called Abortion Aids Abusers. And that's going to be our topic today, because it's just really heavy on my heart right now. I've seen a lot in the news. I've seen a lot of reporting from Live Action, and I just feel like I need to do not just an article on this topic, but I need to do an episode. But before I get into it, I want to tell you about the Worldview Conference that's coming up on March 8th in Downers Grove, Illinois. If you've been paying attention at all to the culture and the wave that we're seeing, marriage and family, although it's being promoted, especially on the right, it's still not something that the culture seems to be taking as priority, especially when we're looking at the low birth rates, when we're looking at the low marriage rates, when we're seeing how Gen Z millennials are waiting longer and longer to get married. And obviously, there are a plethora of reasons for that. I know many people who would love to be married and yet cannot find a godly woman or cannot find a godly man. So I'm not necessarily talking about those people. But what I am saying is that marriage and family has kind of taken a back burner on our culture, where career and what you can output to the world is viewed as more important. So that's why Illinois Family Institute's 11th annual Worldview Conference is hosting the High Calling of Marriage and Family as the conference for this year. And this conference, we are going to be joined by two very intelligent, amazing gentlemen. Dr. Brad Wilcox, professor of sociology and is the director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia. We're also going to be joined by Dr. Scott Phelps. We are also going to be joined by Scott Phelps, who is the founder and executive director of the National Marriage Campaign. And both of these men are going to be focusing their sessions and their topics on why marriage, why family matters, why our culture has drifted away, and how young people can fix their thinking in a way to view marriage and family as high as God views it, because God calls us to marriage. God calls us to having children if you are married, and having children is a beautiful thing. I am currently 22 weeks pregnant as I record this episode, and my husband and I are both still in shock that we're about to welcome a little baby into this world, but also we're just over the moon at the beauty of God's design for marriage, the beauty of his design for life in the womb. And we cannot wait to meet this little one who has been kicking me for about 2 weeks now. I've started to feel her kick and it is just the coolest thing. And Ben was even able to feel her kick last week. And it's just the neatest thing to aspire to marriage, to aspire to family. So this is what this conference is going to focus on. It's going to be amazing topics like this. So you are definitely going to want to come out and listen and connect with people your age and just connect with these topics. Go to illinoisfamily.org/events to find out more. That's illinoisfamily.org events. Okay, like I said at the beginning, abortion aids abusers. I wrote this article that's on selfevidentpodcast.com. It's also on illinoisfamily.org. If you want to go read it for yourself, I will link it below. And this topic has just been heavy on my heart lately. Live Action has done an amazing job of reporting these horrific incidents of men who have exploited women, of men who have abused women into making decisions like this. And I just want to focus on it for a podcast episode. And I'm not sure how long this is going to be. My goal is that this episode is not going to be that long because the subject matter is so heavy. I don't want to go into too dark of detail because I don't think that's helpful in the long run. But abortion aids abusers, that topic, it's something the abortion industry does not want you to know. And the reason it doesn't want you to know is because it makes a lot of money. Even though there are abuse victims in the abortion industry, they still make Planned Parenthood, which is the largest abortion mill in the United States. It still makes them money. And at the end of the day, my goal in fleshing out this episode is to explain to you more fully why Planned Parenthood does not care about women. They do not care about children. All they care about at the end of the day is their paycheck, is how much money they're making in this industry. So Live Action, and I'm sure you know who Live Action is, it is one of the biggest national pro-life advocacy nonprofit groups in the United States. They are continuing to grow. They are continuing to produce content that is so applicable and so needed for this day and age where reproductive rights, where abortion rights, where pro-life, where those topics are just so heavily inundated in our culture. So Live Action has reported numerous instances of how the abortion industry has profited off of sexual abuse. And I just want to read examples for you and hope that my reading of these examples kind of makes my argument for me. So Sean Combs, this was probably the biggest one in the news a few months ago, also known as P. Diddy, the rapper. Live Action reported, quote, numerous other women also accused Combs of abusing them and in multiple instances coercing them into abortions. Virginia, an ex-girlfriend of Combs, said she became pregnant several times and that he pushed her into aborting her preborn children. She also said he offered her $50,000 to abort another baby. Another example is actually a man in the United Kingdom, a man by the name of Stuart Warby, who forced a woman to have an abortion without her knowledge. Quote, in October, Warby was found guilty at Norwich Crown Court, with the court hearing details of how the 40-year-old had crushed one set of abortion pills, mifepristone, into a glass of orange juice, which the unnamed victim unknowingly drank. He then inserted a number of tablets of misoprostol, another abortion drug, inside the woman after using deception to engage in sexual activity with her. Again, like I said, I was not planning to go into detail in this episode. That's probably the most detail that I'm going into of how disgusting this individual is. He deserves the death penalty, in my opinion, for doing this to this woman, for victimizing her in such a horrible way. And this is just one example of many that I'm going to read of how the abortion industry profits off of people like this, profits off of abusers, profits off of predators. Argentina's former first lady and ex-wife of former President Alberto Fernandez testified that back in 2016, when abortion was still illegal in the country of Argentina, President Alberto forced her to have an abortion, and she called this action, quote, reproductive violence. Or Clint Eastwood, who pressured his longtime girlfriend Sandra Locke into abortions over their extended relationship. Quote, Locke said that Eastwood pushed her to have abortions, insisting that parenthood would not fit into their lifestyles. So with all of these examples being read, I hope that you're seeing an underlying rhythm of women being forced into abortion unknowingly in the case of Stuart Warby, or women being heavily pushed or coerced into abortion in the case of Clint Eastwood's girlfriend Sandra Locke, or in the case of former president wife of Alberto Fernandez, or in the case of Virginia in the Sean P. Diddy case. I hope you're seeing that there is an underlying theme that the abortion industry profits off of people who abuse. They profit off of predators. They profit off of men who pretend to be loving, who pretend to be caring, and yet they are full of vile intentions. They are full of demonic ideas about children. Just Clint Eastwood's assertion that parenthood would not fit into their lifestyle. Therefore, Sandra Locke felt pressured into her abortions. Just horrible, horrible. That's not a man. A man sacrifices for his family. A man pursues a godly, pure relationship. A man puts his woman first, puts his family first, and a man does not shy away from raising a child. So absolutely disgusting performances, disgusting characters of these men. And Live Action goes on to comment on all of these instances of coerced or forced abortions. And they note that, quote, "The reality is women are coerced into abortion more often than people think. Some studies have found that over half of women who abort feel pressured into it, often by their partners. Those who resist can become victims of horrific violence. Abortionists have likewise acknowledged that women often have abortions because their partners want them to." Now, in this episode, I'm not going to go into the differentiations that I personally hold when it comes to what makes a woman a true victim in an abortion scenario. I think Stuart Warby's victim, who unknowingly drank abortion pills, is absolutely an example of a woman who is 100% victim along with the life of her baby. However, I want to highlight some extra things that Live Action reported on how Planned Parenthood actually, not only do they profit off of abuse in the abortion industry, not only are they the biggest abortion mill in the United States, but because of that, they also profit off of abusive relationships that are pedophilic in nature between someone who is an adult and someone who is a minor. So child sexual abuse cases profit Planned Parenthood. Quote, "Over the past years, Live Action has caught Planned Parenthood coaching undercover investigators posing as young girls impregnated by adult males how to cover up those crimes. In addition, Live Action and Live Action News have documented multiple criminal cases of adult predators who transported, paid for, or arranged abortion or birth control visits to Planned Parenthood for their young victims. When Planned Parenthood failed to file reports, the sexual abuse often continued." And I will actually link a video below of an undercover investigation that Live Action recently posted as, in a way, proof of their statements that you need to watch this with your own eyes if you don't believe it, or if you're curious, I highly recommend that you see what I'm talking about. In the video that I'm going to link below, an undercover reporter from Live Action poses as a 13-year-old girl who is pregnant by a 31-year-old man. And the woman in the Planned Parenthood clinic tells her that she does not want to know the age. She doesn't want to know the extenuating circumstances, that instead she should say that the father of the baby is actually a 14-year-old in her class, that she needs to start going with that story instead. So right there, that's a crime of failing to report child sexual abuse, knowingly failing to report child sexual abuse because they failed to report child sexual abuse. Not necessarily in that case because it was an undercover reporter, but in the cases that Live Action has followed, those girls are continued to be victimized by their predators because the abuse was not reported to CPS. Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry obviously do not care about the health of the mother, and especially they don't care about the health of the baby because they are intentionally killing children daily. But especially women, they don't care about your health. They don't care about your safety. They don't care about your extenuating circumstances. They don't care that you're in an abusive relationship. They don't care that you're being victimized as a little girl by a predator. They don't care because at the end of the day, all Planned Parenthood cares about is their paycheck. Abortion aids abusers. Abortion is a demonic evil that must be completely eradicated. Not only are we talking about the life of precious image bearers, we are talking about the actual safety of girls, young girls in the United States that are victimized on a daily basis from predators, of women that are feel like they're pressured into abortion because they're terrified that something horrible is going to happen to them. There are so many reasons why abortion must be eradicated and abortion must be unthinkable. However, I do want to give you an action step forward to take from this, that we might never see abortion completely eradicated in our lifetime. I pray to God that it is. I pray to the Lord that not only is it eradicated, but it is absolutely unthinkable that it becomes a stain in our country, in every heart and mind of everyone living in this country, that we ever tolerated such a demonic evil in our nation. And actually, one way that we can take a step toward that goal is actually defunding Planned Parenthood from all federal aid. And I'm going to link below a petition that you can sign. All it needs is your name and your address, and you can sign a petition that demands the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Defunding Planned Parenthood would not only hopefully stop the influx of babies being murdered in the womb on a daily basis, but also stop the influx of child abuse that is alive and well in the abortion industry, of domestic abuse in general that is alive and well in the abortion industry. And I hope that you take courage in this episode, that there are action steps that we can take, one of them being to sign this petition, another being that we don't stop talking about abortion, that we don't stop being pro-life, both in our communities and online, that we continue to promote godly values on our social media. We continue to promote life values on our social media accounts, if you have one, that this is a very real evil that we are facing on a daily basis, and silence about an egregious demonic evil like this is just not an option. Again, I know that this topic today was a little bit heavier, but I just felt so much pressure and a sense that I really needed to make an episode on this, not just write about it, but I needed to talk about it, that the abortion industry thrives off of predators. It thrives off of abusers, and that should tell you everything you need to know about an industry when it thrives off of people oppressing others. So again, I'm going to link below that petition to sign to defund Planned Parenthood from any type of federal funding from our taxpayer dollars. And I thank you so much for listening. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.